I would like you all to give a big hand to Miguel. But we're not going to be this formal. We'll take it out and let you roam. How's that? It's always better to roam, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Now, Miguel, you and I are going to have to stand close to each other because otherwise I can't get you.
Okay.
But ladies and gentlemen, we have somebody here tonight that's going to share with us a testimony of what God has done. Isn't it awesome that we can come and testify and say, this is what the living God has done for me?
Amen.
That's wonderful, isn't it? Yeah, give God a hand. Now, for those of you that are here for the first time, we do things a little bit different here. Maybe it's not that different from the way that they do it where you come from, but yeah, we believe in what Jesus taught the disciples to do. In other words, preach it, teach it, and then do something about it. All right? So what we do on a Wednesday night is we preach it, we teach it, and then afterwards we do something about it. We pray for people. We lay hands on them. We minister to them. And on any given night, you can come here and you will see things happen because God wants to do things for His people. God gets all excited when we give Him the opportunity to like flex His muscles and start ministering to people. And so, was it two Wednesdays ago?
Yeah, two Wednesdays ago.
Now, you have to hold it up there. Miguel came and he asked me for prayer. Now, I'm going to let him tell you what he came to ask prayer for.
Okay, I came and asked prayer for my little baby. He's 4 years old. He had a couple of stomach cramps, but quite badly. And he just wouldn't eat. We couldn't get him to eat absolutely nothing. And we thought maybe the stomach cramps was because he doesn't eat at all. And
but now these stomach cramps have been for a long time, eh?
I could say from around about 2 years old that we can remember from that he's always had these stomach cramps. But the biggest worries we had was more him not eating because the stomach cramps could become, you know, because he just wanted to drink milk. His normal milk, and you know, we just added up stuff in the milk so that it would make him, you know,
nourishment.
And I came up for prayer on that, but he wouldn't eat at all. It was such a problem. My wife Mena had to like force feed him all the time at the creche, the same thing. And then I came for prayer, and it was unbelievable. The next day, already in the morning, he was asking for food, not for his milk. But you needed to see and you needed to know what he was like. He wanted not only to eat, but he wanted us to see him eat. He would open his mouth wide and call us and show that he's putting rice in his mouth. 9:30 at night, he's asking my wife to go and make him fish fingers. He had grommets fitted last week Thursday. That's why I left a little bit late, but I left still in time because he had to eat something before midnight. All right, he actually ate. It was 12:30 by the time we got home, but it was fine. When he came out of theater, the first thing he asked for was McDonald's. So.
God is good, amen?
Amen?
All right, now, I'm going to add one or two things that I think is relevant. When he came and asked me to pray for his son, I said, yes, of course we will pray for your son. But I had a sneaky suspicion that the problem was spiritual. You understand that you can sometimes get a normal problem and sometimes you have a spiritual problem. And infirmity can be spiritual. You realize that, right? All right, so in other words, sometimes a pain is just a pain, and sometimes a pain is some stupid devil giving you a pain. And you have to discern where these things are coming from, because you can't say that all problems are demonic, and you can't say that all problems are not demonic, because only God knows, and God needs to reveal. But when he came and he spoke to me about it, I immediately got the sensation that this is a demonic thing that is working, and we need to deal with it in that way. So I explained to him that I'm going to pray for his son, but taking into account that his son is only 4 years old, if this demonic problem is working in his son, then it's not working through the son. He's too young. then it's working through the family bloodline. And then we need to deal with it in accordance, which means that it is then coming from either the father's side or it is coming from the mother's side, and so it needs to be addressed. And I spoke to Miguel about this stuff, and when I mentioned it to him that way, he immediately said to me that, oh, but his mother had exactly the same problem that his son has. Just tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, mom's always had problems with her stomach, and she actually used to say that she used to feel movement inside, like as if she had a snake feel type of thing. And look, I come from a Portuguese background, so she used to go a lot to what we would say witch doctors and that type of thing. So she would go to church, Roman Catholic church. They would, when she said that she had something like that on the stomach, they thought she was crazy. So of course she used to turn out to these witch doctors, and only now I've realized what bad it's actually done into my life. And I just hope and pray that she's fine. She's actually down in Portugal. I keep thinking of her the whole time. But
well, we're going to trust God for a miracle in her life as well. Amen? So I said to him, I believe, seeing as your mother had exactly the same problems as your son, that it is coming from your bloodline. So I said, you come and stand here, and we are going to pray over you and ask the Lord to release you from the curse that is upon your family's bloodline, because if it stops with you, it can't go to your child. Your child is too young. Okay, so he came and he stood in front of me, and we started to pray. Now, let me quickly just call them. Eddie, just show the people how big you are. Prozi, where are you? Just get up and show the people how big you are. Who else helped to control this oak? Who else? Yeah, get up and show them. Who else was there? Yes, big Rion or small Rion, get up. You see all these people? They could not control this little poor man. He went ballistic and he wanted to punch me. And I just said to them, how fast, how fast. But anyway, this devil was highly upset that we had discerned him. But you know what? Within about 2 minutes, he came out with a big yell and he was gone. And the very moment that the spirit came off him, the same spirit left his son, and that is why his son is healed, restored, delivered, and made new. Give the Lord a big hand. God bless you. Now, tonight I'm going to start what is probably going to end up being a series. I can't even tell you how long I'm going to talk about it, because there's an enormous amount of information that I'm going to be sharing with you. This is something very different, and I would like to encourage you that if you know young people, that next week you bring them with. It doesn't just have to be young people, but I think young people will benefit extremely from what we're going to be talking about, because I'm going to be sharing with you how Satan influences us through music. How many of you have realized by now that Satan can most definitely influence mankind through music? All right, now, to start off with, I know last week I shared this testimony, but I want to share this now so that it's part of the series. And there's a lot of new faces here, and I'm sure they haven't heard this before. Many years ago, I got a young guy coming to me. And he came into my office, and he sat down and he said to me, you know what, I've got big problems and you have to help me. I said, okay, well, what is your problems? And what he explained to me sounded very demonic, all right? They were hearing footsteps in the house. They would feel things jumping up and down on their bed in the middle of the night. It was actually so bad that the duvet would be pulled off the bed. And you know, it's just him and his wife. They had no children. So this was quite rough. He says the one night he was sleeping and something actually pulled the pillow from under his head. Now, it's quite serious when you wake up and these things are going on. So they had lots and lots of problems. His wife was suicidal. He was paranoid. They had fear. There was just so much things going on in their life. And when I got to their house to pray for them, I asked them about these things, and I asked them about when it happened. And they related to me that they used to go to raves very often. They used to go to raves almost every weekend if they had the opportunity to do so. And they would stay there for as long as they could. Sometimes they would be there for 3 days in a row. He says the one night they were at a rave, it was the second night that they were at this rave. And he went into what they call a chill room, which is a place where you just go and you just kind of like you flop down and you try and recover so that you can go back and go and dance a bit further. And he went into this chill room and he fell down on the floor and he was lying there exhausted. Now his wife was still somewhere in the crowd. And as he was lying there, the next moment he saw his wife come walking through the door. And she walked straight towards him, and as she was about 5 meters from him, she suddenly stood still. She started laughing at him and she pointed her finger at him and her whole countenance changed. Everything about her began to change. She grew bigger. She grew at least 8 foot tall, if not bigger. Her face, the flesh began to melt off of her face and only the skull remained. These flames popped out of the skull and there were these big red eyes glaring at him and this thing was laughing at him. And this thing said to him, "I've come for you. I've come for you." And of course the oak nearly went ballistic. He suddenly forgot all about being worn out and tired. He jumped up there and he just ran out of that place, pushing people out of the way to get there, out of there as quickly as he could. He finally made it out into the street. He says he ran to the opposite side of the street because he didn't even want to look at the building again. He lay there in a total panic, and within about 2 or 3 minutes, his wife came running out the door hysterical. So then he forgot all about his problems because his wife is in total hysterics. He calmed her down and he tried to speak to her to find out what was going on. When he eventually managed to calm her down, she told him exactly the same story, but just from her point of view. She was busy dancing and he came through the people. And when he came to within about 3-4 meters of her, he suddenly grew big. His face began to melt. There was a skull, big red eyes, and flames all around. It pointed its finger at her and said, "You are mine. I have come for you." And she went ballistic and she ran out. So within maybe 2 to 3 minutes of one another, both of these young people had exactly the same experience. And you've got to understand that it completely freaked them out. Now, we had to deal with this. We spoke about it. We prayed about it. When I prayed for him and for his wife, they both began to manifest. Evil spirits came out of them. Quite a few came out of his wife. And God completely changed and transformed their lives. Now, the one interesting thing that I want to share with you is, often you will talk to people about the influence of music. And you know what? Especially if you're still in the world and you are not open to spiritual things, you think that this is the biggest load of rubbish, man. Oh, don't tell me my music can affect me because it doesn't, you know. It just makes my foot go tappity, 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 and my bokeh stomps a bit, you know. But I'm actually all right, you know. It doesn't affect me. I'm fine. Now, you take people that have gone through what they have gone through, and they are open to all suggestions. You tell them, get rid of this, they get rid of that, plus, 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 plus. Because they know how powerful this rubbish is. Now, they had an enormous amount of CDs. They had a lot of CDs. And they had a lot of rave CDs. Now, if you've never heard a rave CD, you haven't missed much. That's all I could say. It's really just a bunch of techno rubbish. Very fast beat, and it sounds very psychedelic, some of the stuff. And when I spoke to them about this and the fact that this has probably influenced them and that Satan is probably working through this stuff, they both agreed that they would get rid of it instantly. He later related to me that they burned the CDs. When they burned them, they felt something happen inside of them. Now, they did not just have rave CDs. They had a lot of other stuff as well, all right? They had rock, they had hard rock, they had some metal, they had a wide spectrum of stuff. They asked me that night what were the things that I thought that they should rather get rid of. I gave them a brief idea, and they burnt all of the stuff. And they both felt some kind of a sensation as these things were burning, as if something was letting them go. All right. Their lives changed completely. They stopped going to these places. They stopped listening to that kind of music. They started attending church regularly. And within 6 months, both of them got involved in youth ministry. Amen.
Amen.
Now that was, their family could not believe the way that their lives had changed. But you know what? They saw with their own two eyes how Satan was working and how Satan was also using the kind of music that they were into to control their lives. Now God had mercy on them and allowed them to see these things. Not everybody sees it. Not everybody experiences it that way. And that is why some people battle. Now, about 5 years ago, I met a young lady that was sent to curse one of the churches that I normally preached at that stage of my life. She was a Satanist, just brought up from Durban, where she was very actively involved in going to churches and cursing them, trying to put spells on people's marriages, trying to put spells on Christians to go into fornication, to go into adultery, etc., etc. And she generally made a nuisance of herself in the church. The night that I was there, she made the mistake of walking into the church, and God decided to do something about this woman. Amen. So when she started releasing her ho-hos and trying to cause problems, I immediately felt something big is wrong in this church. So I started jumping up and down and putting my foot down and saying to the devil, "You, in the name of Jesus, you foot sack." Then I went up onto the pulpit and I began to preach. But as I began to preach, I said to the congregation, when I got here, I got the very strong feeling, the sensation that there is somebody in this church busy cursing this church. Now, this is not my church, it's yours. So you better tell me whether you are willing to allow that to continue, or are you as a congregation going to put your foot down and do something about it? Ooh, no, 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 they're going to put their foot down. I said, everybody stand up. So they stood up and I said, put your foot on the devil. And they began to march. And the auntie in the second row popped and went ballistic, and it was the Satanist. Because every devil in her started getting a hiding. And she ran out the back of the church. Now, I need not tell you that nobody listened to my sermon for the rest of the night, because everybody was very stressed about what just happened. Yeah. Now, she was in the courtyard of the church. And we could hear her screaming and freak. It wasn't really her screaming. All her devils were just flabbergasted because they didn't know what had just happened. And after the service, they brought her to me. I spoke to her. And to make a long story short, I started praying for her so that she could be set free. The one day we were busy talking. And we were busy discussing, you know, how we were going to sort out certain problems in her life. And, you know, when somebody has sold their soul to the devil, you don't have to worry about where to start, because when they come into your office, half the time their devils are popping already. So you just have to start dealing with whatever is manifesting. But once you've got past that, you can start digging and finding out, you know, where have they given the devil place, etc., etc. And we started talking about music. And she related to me how she would frequent the clubs, and especially the raves and that type of places. And that the moment she went into a place like that, when certain music began to play, she would completely lose control of herself. It was like the demons inside of her became so powerful that where normally she could sort of put her foot down and say, "No, you know what, I don't want to do this and I don't want to do that," they just had all power. And she could feel how they were just moving amongst the people and flowing through the people and absolutely causing havoc in those places. And I asked her whether she realized what, or whether she knew what they were doing. And she said, "Yeah, it's simple. Some of them would start feeling suicidal. Some of them would start getting a lot more rebellious. Some of them would have relationships just start failing. Some of them would develop problems and sicknesses, etc., etc. But that was what started happening, and that was her mission. She was sent by these spirits to go to these places so that when she entered there, those spirits could begin to move. But she was very clear on one point. It was not all music that caused this to happen, but there were certain types of music. When that type of music began to play, it fed the demons inside of her. It gave them power, and she could not stop them, and she could not control them. And she used to love to go to places like raves, because that type of music was extremely conducive to her demons having a ball in that place. She would also, when she needed some more demonic power, she would often put rave CDs and heavy metal CDs and some of the alternative bands. I can't really remember the names. I'm really sorry, but it was too long ago. But when she slipped these CDs into the CD player, she says often, instantly, she would go into a trance when those things began to play. And when she went into that trance, something began to happen to her, and she would begin to feel how she got more and more and more power. The interesting thing is, the moment I began to pray for her to deliver her from the spirits that were in her that worked through music, she started going on like she was on a dance floor. And you know what? I had to cast those devils out while she was dancing, because she wouldn't sit still. And I could see instantly what these spirits were doing. They were doing very suggestive moves and you know, all sorts of stuff like that. But they were dancing. They were going ballistic. They were going mad. She nearly broke down my office. And one by one, I cast all those spirits out of her. She also had to burn her whole CD collection. That was a very difficult and traumatic thing for her. When she had to bring the CDs to burn them, when she had to bring them to my office to burn them, the evil spirits absolutely went ballistic. She had pain all over her body. She had fever. She was sick. She felt like she was going to die just because she had to bring those things so that we could actually burn them and destroy them. Now, the good news is eventually we did burn them. Eventually we did destroy them. That's my first story that I would like to relate to you. And then I also worked with another girl. I worked with her for about a year. She was a bride of Satan. So she was very, very high up in the satanic covens. Way back when we still had the old South Africa, we used to have four provinces. And there was one bride in every province. And she was the bride in this area where we used to call the Transvaal. And interestingly enough, the one day me and her were speaking, and we also got to speaking about music. And you can't talk to them about this initially because they won't open up and they won't talk. But when you've walked a road with them, they really do begin to talk to you about these things. And some of these things, they'll openly sit and explain to you how this happened. And she shared with me about how certain CDs, when they are actually cut, when they do the... Mark, what do you call it when you all go into the studio and you... What do you call that? When they go into the recording studios, she related to me how she and her coven, on certain CDs that were cut, even in South Africa, how they were called in and they would sit in a room right next door to where these CDs were recorded, and they had to sit and they sat and they chanted and they actually released spells and curses and all sorts of stuff to go onto the soundtrack. You can't hear it. It's done in the background. But the what they are trying to achieve by this is to put something on that so that when the person begins to listen to it, in some way what they have done will be released through the music and it will begin to affect the person. Now, I'm pretty certain that what the other one told me happened to her when certain songs began to play was she felt the power of those spells and the incantations and all the rubbish that was done, whether in South Africa, whether in America. This is common practice. Why is it common practice? Because Satan loves to work through music. All right. Satan loves music. You can't blame him because music is nice, isn't it? How many of you love music? Just raise your hands. All right, so... Don't take it the wrong way, but you've got something in common with the devil there. But it's not a bad thing, because remember something. God created music, not Satan. God created music. And music is not evil. Music is good. But there is a type of music that is definitely very evil and not good. And it is to be able to discern what is right, what is wrong, what is good, and what is not good. So now we know that God created Satan when he was still Lucifer, with some serious musical gifts and abilities. We find that in two different distinct places in the Bible. And here's what I want you to understand about Satan. He doesn't just have talent. All right, you get somebody, they are talented, they pick up a guitar and they can strum a few chords. Satan doesn't have talent. He's got the whole kit and caboodle. He's got a serious gift when it comes to music and musical instruments. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, verse 11 to 12, you read the following. It is a prophecy being spoken, and it says the following: your pomp is brought down to the shed, and the sound of your stringed instruments. The maggot is spread under you, and the worms cover you. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. All right, so now we know clearly who is being addressed. The person being addressed is Lucifer. Listen to what they say about him. This is God speaking to him. He says, your pomp is brought down to the shed, and the sound of your stringed instruments. The maggot is spread under you, and the worms cover you. Now how you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. I want you to take note of the fact that God says clearly that Lucifer has stringed instruments all around him. Now, it refers to a time before now. many, many years ago, when God kicked Lucifer out of the heavens. And we need to take note of the fact that God says, even God says, and refers to the fact that he has these stringed instruments. Now, what would you think, Mark? You're a musician. When I say to you that you must bring your stringed instruments, and it is the plural is used, not just the singular. So God doesn't say your banjo, you understand? He makes reference that he's got plenty. What would you say, what would you classify under stringed instruments?
A full orchestra.
A full orchestra. Okay, what would be in a full orchestra that is stringed?
Violins,
cellos, double bass, harp, guitar, etc., etc., etc. So there can be plenty of things. Now, Mark is correct. You could probably make up a whole orchestra just from those things. So, then we couple that to the following, which is what we touched on last week. Ezekiel chapter 28 from verse 13. God speaks to this person and he says to him, "You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise and emeralds with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and of your pipes was prepared in you on the day that you were created." Now, just to set the scene again, we are talking about somebody that was in the Garden of Eden, because God says, "You were in Eden, the Garden of God." We know of only three people that were in Eden, the Garden of God. Number one, Adam. Number two, Eve. God doesn't count, because God is the one talking. That leaves only who?
The devil.
Satan. God speaks to a man that he says, "You were in Eden," and then God explains what he looks like. He's fantastic. He's phenomenal. What do you want me to say? All the gems known to man, jasper, beryl, onyx, diamonds, etc., etc., they are all woven into his makeup. It's part of who he is. And then he adds something very interesting. God says, "The workmanship of your timbrels and of your pipes was prepared in you on the day that you were created." I believe that I took this from the New King James Version of the Bible. If you are reading from the New International Version of the Bible, your version will not have this. What do you want me to say? I don't know why they left it out. But it is in the original text. It is in the King James Version. It is in the New King James Version. I think it is in the Authorized Version. It's in a lot of the versions of the Bible, and it should be there because it's part of Lucifer's makeup. Now, once again, we see that there is something added which is not gemstones, it is not silver, and it is not gold. It is musical instruments. It is called timbrels, and it is called pipes. Now, I did some research looking at the original texts, looking at the original Hebrew, Aramaic, whatever you call it, and a timbrel in ancient times was a percussion instrument. Mark, when I tell you that you have to bring your percussion instrument, what must you bring?
Drums.
You understand? All right, now they said there that it could refer to drums and it could refer to cymbals. All right? So listen, yeah. His kit is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. He's got all these stringed instruments that he can use. He's also got drums that he can use. And let me tell you something. If you've ever listened to ancestral worship, he knows how to use the drums, doesn't he? Yeah, he's an expert at the drums. And then there is one last thing. Your pipes. What musical instrument do you know of that works with pipes? Say again? The organ, the bagpipes. Okay, so yeah, I didn't actually think of that, but the keyboard was probably around back then. Maybe they had like, yeah, the pan flute, eh? Yeah. In fact, the god of music is called Pan. It is the goat figure that has goat legs, but he has the top of a man, and he is always playing a pan flute. That is why he is called Pan. And he is seen as the demon, the god that rules over all satanic music. So let's look at what Satan brings to the party. Remember, this was written many thousands of years ago. Today, when he comes to the party, he'll bring his bass guitar, he'll bring his acoustic guitar, he'll bring his what do you call that thing? Keyboard. He'll bring his synthesizer. He'll bring his Sirius drum kit. What else would he be bringing, Mark? He'll bring his wah wah pedal and what else? his fuzz box, and he doesn't need a drum machine. He's got his own stuff. So, but in the old days, this is what he used. He used stringed instruments. In other words, he used some form of harp or some form of guitar. He used drums. He used what else? Pipes, flutes, something to that effect. So what I'm trying to show you is the Bible makes something quite clear. Satan has access to the full spectrum of musical instruments with which to work to attack you and me. Because never lose sight of the fact that the Word of God warns us, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now Satan will use any means necessary to get to us. And for some of us, the easiest way to get to us is really through our taste in music. Because let's be very honest, we can praise God that there are differing tastes in music, because some music is just plain weird and scary. Yet there are people that like that type of stuff. Satan cannot work through all music, because not all music is demonic. But there is definitely certain types of music that have strong satanic and demonic undertones, and yes, he does work in those areas. So, if we look at all of the stuff together, it is very quick to see that Lucifer was capable of playing a vast array of instruments, and possibly he could do these things all at the same time. Ezekiel chapter 28 verse 11. Now listen carefully. Thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. This is the scary part, my friend. God, even God admits that Lucifer, when he was created, was the seal of perfection. All right. Now the type of music that he can create will have the seal of perfection. In other words, we're not talking about chamor stuff. We are talking about serious quality stuff. We are talking about bands that have the most fantastic backing. They've got, you know what, when you look at some of these rock musicians, the way, Mark, have you checked the way that they can play that guitar? I mean, your eyes don't even blink that fast, and that finger is just going and going and going. Because Satan can give perfection. You see, I want you to understand something. Satan cannot give a gift. Only God can give a gift. But Satan can give influence. And there are a lot of musicians that unfortunately have sold their soul to the devil so that they can receive that musical talent that will drive people crazy. And yes, when the power of Satan is upon their lives, let me tell you something, they will give you perfection. The problem is they will give you satanic perfection. Because seeing as he's helping them to do these things, helping them to play this song or to play this guitar or to play this keyboard, his influence will always be upon the music that is produced by the person that has received his satanic influence. And when that stuff is playing, my friend, you have to understand something. It will start influencing you. Maybe not the first time, maybe not the second time. Maybe not even in the first month, because you are strong. But you know what? There's not one of us that is strong every single day of our life. You see, my friend, I don't know about you, but I know that I have weakness in my life. And sometimes my weakness is simply that I've had a really tough week and I'm feeling cranky and I haven't had a lot of sleep. And now, you know, I'm a lot more susceptible than what I would have been if I wasn't feeling that way. So now you put that CD in and that rubbish starts working on my mind and this thing begins to affect me. Yeah, that's exactly how these things work. They begin to affect you and I. Romans chapter 11 verse 29 says the following. For the gift and the call of God are irrevocable. That is important because Lucifer obviously received from God phenomenal gifting in the area of music. Now, the perfection that he has versus the perfection that a normal person has cannot be the same, because he's received something very powerful, spiritual. Alright? He has received this. He was kicked out of heaven, but that does not mean that he has lost any of his ability. That does not mean that he has lost any of his power when it comes to music. In fact, he still has it all, and he still uses it to very, very good effect. But there is a big difference though. You see, before he used to use his gift to praise God. Before he used to use his gift to bring worship to the Most High, to glorify the Almighty. He would be in the presence of God and he would strum that guitar and he would push that kick drum and he would get a beat going and all the angels would begin to praise and they would begin to worship and it would be fantastic, phenomenal. But remember something. Now he hates God. He can't stand him. His sole purpose is to bring destruction to the kingdom of God, to try and hurt God. And if you and I serve God, then let me tell you something, he doesn't like you. But don't worry about it because he doesn't like me either. And he doesn't like the fact that you've come to this church tonight to hear this message. And he will use whatever he has available to him to try and influence our relationship with God. And it is amazing, it is absolutely amazing, especially with young people. When they begin to listen to a certain type of music, they suddenly begin to manifest the spirit of the Antichrist. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, where they would normally probably go with you to church when you said, okay boy, come on, get up, we're going to church, now suddenly they'll give you lip. No, I don't want to go. No, I don't feel like it. You're always forcing me. You want to control my life. But where's that coming from? Sometimes, often, it comes through what is influencing them by what they have started to listen to. Remember something, my friend. Satan is a rebel at heart. The reason why he got kicked out of the kingdom of God, why he got kicked out of heaven, was because he rebelled against God. He loves to bring rebellion. And that is why, depending on what a young person listens to, certain types of music will instantly trigger rebellion in young people's lives. And mommy and daddy are normally the first to figure out, listen, yeah, something is not right, because Kusi or Classy or Sunny or Pity or whatever that used to be such a nice child, docile, have nice ears, listen, respectful, quiet, now has got lip about everything. But it's that rebellious spirit standing up. And don't for one second tell them to go to church, because they'll just tell you where to get off. Now I'm old enough to make my own decisions. You're not going to force me. I'm open-minded about things. I don't want to go and listen to this rubbish that you do. Now I see things differently, but that's the spirit of the Antichrist busy manifesting. Because Satan himself is Antichrist. Everything he does is anti-Jesus. All right, now, I want to make a statement. You may never have thought about it in this way, but music is something that is extremely, extremely powerful. You see, music has the ability to affect the way we think, perceive, and feel. Music, ultimately, has the power to control and the power to corrupt. Now I want to do a bit of an experiment, because there's probably some of you that don't believe what I say is true. So we're going to do an... Are you open for an experiment? Alright, so don't get angry with me if you don't like my experiment, because you all said yes. Alright, so now, here's what we're going to do. Eddie, would you do that first one for us, please? Now, that was a song. What feeling did you feel when you sat and listened to that song? What did you feel? Exciting. Happy. That's the one I'm looking for. Because that's a happy song. And the thing is, because it's such a happy song, and the way that it was created and the way that it was put together, I don't think there is anybody that is sitting here tonight that can say to me, you know what, Rion, that was just rubbish. Because it's a lacquer song. It's a happy song. Now you see, the thing is, nothing that I preached necessarily made you happy. But the moment we put that music on and that music began to fill this place, everybody sitting here probably felt the same kind of emotion. Instantly, it began to tug at your heart and it created within you a happiness. In other words, what I'm trying to say is it instantly influenced you to feel happy. Would you all agree with me there? Right. Do the next one for us. Second one. What would you say, what emotion, what feeling did that give you?
Inspiration.
Who got excitement, enthusiasm, something to that effect? Now, who of you saw the movie Chariots of Fire? Just wave at me. Okay, if you anything under 30 years old, you probably don't even know what I'm talking about. All right? But for the rest of us that saw that movie is a classic. And you know what? The thing that probably made that movie is when they're running the race, and I can't remember exactly what happened. They dropped the baton, or the oak fell, or something happened. And then the oak gets back up. He refuses to give up. He starts running, and then suddenly they begin to play the song. Things go into a little bit of slow motion. And who of you were sitting there sobbing, bawling your eyes out, listening to all of this? Come on, wave at me. Now, that music made that movie. Because take the same scene, take away the music, take away the drama, take away the theatrics, and just let the O run, and some of us would have been, yeah, that was great. But you would not have had the same feeling that you had if you sat there and you watched that man pick up that baton and start running, and he's like running in tune with this music, and you're getting all excited, and you're getting, like, you feel like you're going to burst. You feel like you're going to explode. So what am I saying? Once again, the music made it. Because the music did something to us inside, and you know what? Every time we hear that music, we go all funny. Is that true? All fuzzy. Yeah, thank you. So that music, in some way, controlled what you felt. Listen to what I'm saying. That music, to a certain extent, controlled how you felt. Do the third one for us. How did that make you feel?
That inspired me.
Okay, that inspired him. Who felt sad? Yeah. You see, the thing is, different strokes for different oaks. I accept that. But that music, I don't know, it's sad, it's forlorn. It's the type of music that would probably play if you're watching some kind of a movie where somebody has just lost his wife, or his cousin, or his parrot fell off the perch and died, or something really funny happened, and the oak is standing there with tears in his eyes and he's saying goodbye. You'll play that because it'll be befit the scene. All right? So again, this music spoke to you. This music touched you somewhere, and it evoked a sensation, it evoked a feeling, and again, it somehow controlled you. Play number four for us. You liked it, didn't you? I'm checking on you, buddy. All right. I spared you because I stopped it before they started singing. Man, if they started singing, you would have vomited, I promise you. It's really not good. Okay. I can instantly see that this had a very marked different reaction to all of you than the first three that we listened to. Okay? So, who can I ask? What did you experience when that was playing? She couldn't even experience anything because it was too loud and too dear macabre. Okay, what did you experience? Ah, all right. I'm hearing annoyance, irritability, destruction, madness, anger, violence, negative. All right, so this music, in total contrast with all the others that brought about probably nice feelings, nice emotions, this instantly brought out something negative, brought out something cold, something hard, something not nice. Again, whether you like it or not, this music controlled how you felt for a while. Amen? It touched something inside of you and it manipulated you to bring you to a point that some of you were like, you were feeling aggro, you were feeling angry, because that's very angry music. All right, I believe there is one more. Now, you all know what emotions normally go with that type of a song. What emotion goes with that?
Fear.
Fear, trepidation. You're sitting on the edge of your seat because you know there's a big script coming now. Something's going to happen. Either Jaws is going to happen or Mark's going to pop his head out somewhere. Yeah. So, okay guys, we listened now to six different songs, tunes, call them what you will. And each one of them spoke to you in a different way. Each one of them affected you in a different way. And listen to me. This is what I want you to understand. I don't care who you are. You could not sit here tonight and not be affected by them. Maybe one or two of them, you didn't feel the effect so badly. But I would say that at least 50 to 60% of what we played tonight had an instant reaction inside of you that you probably could not control. When the Katrina and the Waves song came on, we all felt happy. We all started tapping and we were all in tune with the music. When Chariots of Fire came on, we all had like inspiration. Oh, but you know what? I think I can do that job. Yeah, yeah, but you know, there will be a breakthrough. We started thinking positively. And now Satan knows this. Because he was created to be a fantastic, I almost want to say magician, but remember, God doesn't create magicians. But now, in his fallen state, Satan is a magician when it comes to music. And he knows exactly what to do to make music affect you. Now, here's the thing that I see my time is very short, so I'm going to stop on this page for tonight. I'm not going to preach any further. Next week we're going to do a lot more stuff. But the thing is, Satan knows that music in itself, even without him, is already powerful because it already has the ability to influence us. Now, take Satan and put him into the mix and then put that CD on, be it the angry one, the negative one, the destructive one, the fearful one. How powerful is the effect on you going to be now? Because you see, the thing is, whether you like it or not, Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, for those of you that have never heard me say this, a demon is like an amplifier. All right? Let's take that amplifier in the front. We have a Yamaha amplifier. It can push 400 watts per channel, which is quite a lot. You go and stand in front of those speakers and it's cranked up, you'll probably suffer some hearing damage. You'll get hurt. Now, if we put the signal in, coming from this microphone, and we do not turn the amplifier on, then all you get is my voice. Which is okay for a small room, but if you are speaking in a big room or a big church, you will battle to reach the people at the back there, or you're going to have to scream, and then people don't understand what you're saying because you're screaming. So the amplifier takes a small signal and causes it to become a big signal. Does that make sense to you? Now, that's exactly how a demon or an evil spirit works. Everybody has anger. Everybody has fear. Everybody has irritability sometimes in their life. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm not saying that God has given it to you. I'm just saying, you know what? You take the best person, sometimes they'll get angry. Did Jesus get angry? Was Jesus afraid? When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me." What was that? That was fear beginning to afflict him. That doesn't mean that he had a spirit of fear. That just means that sometimes the flesh feels a bit afraid. Sometimes the flesh feels a bit angry. Sometimes the flesh feels depressed. All right? You don't have to have a spirit of depression to feel depressed. You know, when you've had bad luck upon bad luck, bad news upon bad news for like a week or two, you probably feel a little bit on the negative side. Yeah? Hello? Any of you ever gone through that? But now, you sit with that little bit of negativity, or you sit with that little bit of anger, or that little bit of hatred, and the wrong type of song begins to play. Especially if you listen to it frequently and over again, it begins to amplify what is inside of you. Now, let's just say, just for example, and these are the things that we are going to be looking at next week and the week thereafter, etc., etc. Let's just say that there is somebody, and they are negative, all right? They are feeling negative. It doesn't matter what the situation was. Things happened. Life happened. They have become negative. But now they are also exposed to the wrong type of music through either a friend or through their own dabbling in the stuff. And because they're feeling irritated, they want to listen to irritable music. For some reason, it just does it for them. But the fact of the matter is there's some spirit sitting on that music. And now it's feeding into this person, and that spirit is beginning to amplify what's going on inside of them. So the little bit of irritation, a little bit of depression, a little bit of negativity now suddenly gets amplified and it becomes huge. Now one of two or three things is going to happen. Number one, you pull in front of the oak, you didn't see him, you say sorry, he gets out and he beats you to a pulp. Because he can't control his anger, because that thing has just amplified it to the place that he's lost it. And afterwards, when the people tell him what happened, it's almost like he doesn't even know what happened because he blanked out. He just lost it. Or maybe the oak isn't really that susceptible to that stuff. So where there was just normal negativity, normal despondency, normal dejection, now suddenly it sets over into a full-blown depression. And he doesn't want to live anymore. He doesn't want to see people. He's got no hope for the future. Worst case scenario, he picks up a gun and blows his brains out. A lot of the young people that commit suicide, go trace the music that they listen to, and you'll understand why they probably committed suicide. And you will find a link between the music that they listen to and Satan himself. Because it's the easiest way to get to people. You see, how many of you goes through a whole week without listening to music? A whole week. There is no hands. If I had to ask you who goes through a whole day without listening to music, probably there'll be one or two hands, but there won't be that many. Because the way we are, music is part of us. Music is part of who we are. And the fact that we love music is down to the fact that we are created in the image of God. God loves music. That's why God gave Lucifer all those tools with which he could make beautiful music. We like music. Now here's the thing. You better make sure that the music that you like and the music that you listen to is conducive to good healthy living, to good godly living, because I'm telling you, my friend, there is a type of music out there that when you come under its clutches and you come under its power, it will begin to affect the way you live your life. It will begin to affect the way you think. It will begin to affect the way that everything in your life goes. Because you saw for yourselves tonight that the little bit of music that we played instantly had an effect on you. And that's where people battle. Because people don't really understand that music has this power. My friend, music is powerful, but music is not evil. But it's to come to the place that you begin to understand that there is evil in music. Now that's difficult for a lot of Christians because they won't even believe in the devil, for goodness sakes. So how on earth are they going to believe that music can affect them and this and that and wada wada? My friend, if you believe in the Bible, where is my Bible? Is my Bible somewhere around there? Thanks, Eddie. If you believe in this, you better believe what it teaches. And it teaches us to be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom you must resist, standing firm in the faith. Now, for some of us, the only way to resist him is going to be going into your CD cabinet and saying, you know what, that's just not conducive to having a good godly life. I better get rid of this stuff. When the Lord opened my eyes to this stuff 15 years ago, I'm not going to say to you that I had hundreds of CDs because I didn't. But I had quite a few. And I prayed about this thing and I said to the Lord, Lord, you know, I'm not 100% sure, but you know, I'm sure some of the stuff that I have is not good, it's not right. And I don't want stuff in my life that's not going to help me, that's going to pull me down. You know what, when you're starting to float in a stream or in a river, you want a lifeboat or a life buoy or something or a life vest. You don't want a block of lead. Now some of you, you're sitting with a bunch of blocks of lead. And now and then you're going to pedal water just like Peter did. And then that lead's going to start pulling you down. And I made a decision. I spoke to my wife about it and I got rid of all my secular music. As it is right now, I don't really have secular music. I'm not interested anyway. I don't listen to that type of music often. If I have the opportunity, I listen to spiritual, I listen to gospel music. But I also want to say to you that I'm not telling you that you must go and get rid of all of your secular music, because I know that that is wrong. Because I know that there are artists out there that bless God when they use their God-given talents. So I want you to understand that it's not all wrong, but be aware of the satanic influence. And next week, I'm going to show you specific songs, specific artists, and how Satan works through them. I want to end off with a quote. Eddie, if you can do that next one for us. I want to end off with a specific quote by a guy called Jimi Hendrix. Who of you know Jimi Hendrix? All right? Pretty soon you'll see a slide of him up there. Now, Jimi Hendrix spoke this out of his own mouth. And he said the following: atmospheres are going to come through music because music is a spiritual thing on its own. You can hypnotize people with music. And when you get people at their weakest point, you can preach into their subconscious whatever you want to say. Now there is the man, Jimi Hendrix. You will see that he was known as the voodoo child. That tells you a little bit of something about the man. I'm going to read his quote for you again. Listen. Because I'll tell you what, he had a very bright moment when he spoke these words. He said this: atmospheres are going to come through music, because music is a spiritual thing. Now, what was he talking about? Exactly what I showed you with those songs. Every song created an atmosphere. And immediately we were in that atmosphere. So he says, atmospheres are going to come through music because music is a spiritual thing. That's what people don't understand. Music was created by God, for God. God is spirit. Music is spiritual. Amen. Music is spiritual. Now, spiritual means white or black. There's nothing in between. Spiritual means godly or satanic. There is nothing in between. So that means that a lot of what we are listening to, from a spiritual point of view, will bring darkness into your life. And again, I say to you that if you start trying to go through life blinded by darkness, how far are you going to get in life? Not very far. Not very far at all. Okay, then he goes on and he says the following. He says, it is a spiritual thing on its own. You can hypnotize people with music. Now, I take it that what he was trying to convey is that when you hypnotize somebody, you have absolute total control over them. Is that right? Because if somebody is hypnotized, from what I have seen, when the oak says jump off the chair, they jump off the chair. When he says act like a dog, they act like a dog. So what is Jimi Hendrix saying? He says he has seen with his own two eyes that he can get people to exactly the same place as a hypnotist. When he's gone enough on that guitar and there's been enough, who knows, whatever, and enough devils have been running around, he's got people where the hypnotist would have them, and if he says do this, they'll all do that in a mad frenzy, not worrying about the consequences. And then he says this, when you get people at their weakest point, you can preach into their subconscious whatever you want to say. My friend, all music has a message. All music has a message. Why? Because it's words. It is like that person singing is having a conversation with you. Now that is either going to be an uplifting conversation or it is going to be a destructive conversation. And you know what? I'm preaching to you tonight in a church, but people like Jimi Hendrix preach to billions of people all over the world with the songs that they sing. And their message is not always kosher. Some of their messages are very, very destructive. And that is why so many young people commit suicide. That is why so many people's lives fall apart. Because what is filling them? The Bible says, out of your mouth, the words that we speak have the power of life or death, blessing or curse. I mentioned something last week. It's easy because she set herself up for it, but Lady Gaga, or as we say in Afrikaans, Lady Gaga, ne? She's got a new hit song going on that says, we can have a bad romance. You and I can have a bad romance. What is she really saying, a bad romance? What does that mean if we want to be quite literal on the meaning? Does that mean that we're going to be very lovey-dovey and we're going to just fill each other with love and fall into one another's arms and look into one another's eyes and just melt and fall away? Or does it mean that there's going to be problems? No, it means that there's going to be problems. Yeah. Now, here's the problem. There are people all over the world that have got that refrain of her stuck in their minds. Bad romance, bad romance. And 100 times a day they are speaking the stuff and they are singing the stuff and they are listening to her sing it over them. Well, you know what? Maybe I'm being technical. I don't know. But what if it really has the power to affect romance? What if it really has the power to curse because you are saying this stuff? What if you're sitting there, let's say you're a young person, because I know if you're 30 years old or 40 years old, you won't do this stuff anymore, but let's say that you are in your teenage years and you've just got yourself a girlfriend and you are serenading her with Lady Gaga's song, Bad Romance, and you are singing to her about this bad romance that you're going to... Are you going to have a good or a bad romance? Well, chances are you'll have a very bad romance. So guys, I'm going to stop there for tonight. I want you to take something positive out of this. This is not just negative stuff. The positive that you can take out of it is, if this other stuff affected us, then the right music will uplift us. And that is why the Word of God says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Because, you know, the thing is, when we... things can make you heavy. Circumstances can make you heavy. For goodness sakes, man, listening to the news can make you feel heavy. Hello? Yeah. Phoning your mother-in-law can make you heavy. And for some of you, it's your father-in-law. I don't know. You know, some people are just negative. Yaka, 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 all the time. Complain about this, complain about that. They bring us down. Now, I don't know why, but sometimes we are down. Now, what do you need to do when you are down? Man, the last thing you need to do is listen to Lady Gaga. All right? Or something stupid like that, because it's probably going to take you even more down. What does the Word of God say? Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. If you listen to the right type of music, it'll pick you up out of that abyss that you have fallen into. If you listen to the wrong stuff, it'll push you deeper into the hole. Amen. Did anybody learn something tonight?
Amen.
Give the Lord a big hand. Now,